Welcome to North Shore News and Interviews on Amherst Island Radio. Each week, we keep you updated on newsworthy events, happenings, and conversations that we've had with people in the local community and beyond.
Residents of Greater Napanee will see a change in their recycling pickup on January 1st, 2026. Starting in the new year, Circular Materials Ontario will take over Greater Napanee's blue and gray bin programs. MTERRA Environmental will be collecting all recyclable materials. To help residents prepare for the transition, the town is holding information sessions on October 23rd and November 4th from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. at 99 Advance Avenue. These sessions will provide an opportunity to learn about the transition, how it may impact residents, and how related concerns will be addressed in the new year. Deputy Director of Environmental Services, Growth and Infrastructure Services, Andrew Girouard, spoke about the changes for 2026 and the possibility of more changes in the coming years.
2026, residents should not see a change in their collection dates, the streams of recycling, or what recyclables are collected. Beyond 2026, Circular Materials Ontario and MTERRA can decide to change collection dates, routes, streams, how it's collected, so on and so forth.
CAO Matthew Grant explained challenges staff are facing and how they're moving forward in the new year.
There's going to be some change management challenges that will present themselves as this rolls out. One of the things that will be important for us is a pretty robust communications plan combined with a pretty significant advertising plan, just to ensure that people understand what we are and are not responsible for. We will need to make it clear for people what we are and are not able to do, because I appreciate some people will be coming to us to maybe look for us to assist and make sense of this. And unfortunately, we won't be in that position. And so it'll just be really important that we be clear with people about where they can go for the right information, who is now in charge of this, recycling more generally. And that work is already underway. I will give kudos to the team. It's a bit of a moving target, but we're staying on top of the changes, which have been numerous.
Non-eligible sources such as industrial and commercial properties, not-for-profit organizations, municipal and government buildings, commercial farms, daycares, places of worship, campgrounds, and trailer parks will no longer receive curbside collection. Residents who live in mixed commercial and residential buildings will still receive curbside collection, while the commercial section of the building will not. The town will still be responsible for collecting garbage.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
Earlier this year, Loyalist Township was named one of 169 Ontario municipalities to receive strong mayor powers. Ontario's Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing made a presentation to Loyalist Township Council with a focus on how these powers can help the province reach its goal of increasing housing supply. Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend voiced his concerns about the focus of the presentation.
I never think it's appropriate to score political points by asking pointed questions to public servants. But I will just note that consistently in the last several years, housing starts are down in Ontario. So the evidence that these strong mayor powers are advancing that goal of increasing housing supply is certainly suspect. And this is fairly complex. But one simple thing municipalities have said consistently that will help build more housing is to fund municipal infrastructure to support that housing.
The province originally introduced strong mayor powers in 2022 for the cities of Ottawa and Toronto. Through 2023, 44 additional municipalities received these powers, and as of May 1st this year, 216 of Ontario's 414 single and lower tier municipalities now have this legislation. The presentation was part of a series of outreach sessions the province is doing for municipalities who are new to the strong mayor powers. It included an overview of what strong mayor powers are, as well as references to other municipalities and how they're implementing the powers. Mayor Jim Hagedorn spoke about the work of staff as they move forward on the matter.
Still, as we're proceeding through this, the new strong mayor power, I keep coming up with more questions. And fortunately, so far, staff have always been able to do some research and we've been able to work to figure them out, but it'll take a little while before all the municipalities, I'm sure, come to full terms with what it is.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Prince Edward, Lennox, and Addington Social Services are still looking to create 49 childcare spaces by December 31st, 2026, as part of their expansion under the Canada-wide Early Learning and Childcare System. The group is looking to find an operator who can expand or open new childcare spaces in the area. The group are looking for applications before October 31st. The Canada-wide Early Learning and Childcare System gives families access to more affordable and high-quality childcare options, helps lower childcare fees for parents and guardians of children under the age of 6, increases child care spaces, supports the child care workforce, and supports inclusive child care. As of March this year, the system has created about 39,500 new affordable child care spaces. This goes towards their goal of creating 86,000 spaces by the end of 2026. As of January 1st this year, the system capped fees at $22 per day, bringing the provincial average to $19 per day. By March 2026, the system is looking to lower that average to $10 per day. Families and individuals may be eligible for reduced fees if their licensed childcare provider is enrolled in the system and charges more than $12 per day for childcare, with the child being under the age of 6 or turns 6 years old and is enrolled in a licensed preschool, kindergarten, or family age group or a licensed home childcare premises until June 30th. Costs can depend on a family's income and can be reduced by 50% for eligible children in system-enrolled programs. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Loyalist Township is once again partnering with the Odessa Agricultural Society to bring Halloween fun to families at the 4th Annual Trunk or Treat and Crafts event. On Sunday, October 26th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Odessa Fairgrounds located at 231 Main Street, Odessa, there will be an afternoon of free, family-friendly festivities. Local businesses and organizations will be showcasing their creativity with decorated vehicles of all shapes and sizes. Children are invited to trick-or-treat from trunk to trunk in a safe, accessible, and spook-free outdoor environment. This event takes place rain or shine. Inside, the Odessa Agricultural Society will be hosting a variety of festive activities, including Halloween-themed games, crafts, and a cash canteen. Loyalist Township noted they're proud to collaborate with the Lennox and Addington Joint Accessibility Advisory Committee and Treat Accessibility to ensure the event is inclusive and welcoming for everybody. For more information, visit loyalist.ca/trunk or treat. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. Westbridge Renewable Energy has recognized there's still work to be done in gaining public support for their proposed solar farm in Loyalist Township. The company has committed to undertake Indigenous and community engagement activities and incorporate the feedback as the project moves forward. Chief Operating Officer for the company and Vice President of Switzerville Solar, Margaret McKenna, explains where they're at with the project.
During consultation, we've heard positive, we've heard negative, and we've heard constructive. We believe most of that can be incorporated, mitigated, or overcome in future planning and design. There is work to be done still. And we acknowledge that. We believe that the project will have a positive impact on the community and the township as a whole, while also contributing clean emission-free energy to support Ontario's future.
While still showing support for the project, council is making sure the company does their due diligence. Development Services Manager with the Township, Andrea Furness, details some of the environmental work that will need to be done.
As part of the planning application, we would require an environmental impact assessment on that property. There is environmental protection lands going through the property, traversing the property through the water course. So that would be a requirement. We would they would have to address everything on species at risk habitat, wildlife habitat, all of that would have to be looked at by an ecologist. And the Township uses a third-party peer reviewer to evaluate that as well. Determine if there's impacts and to help form how any development can occur on the site without negatively impacting any natural heritage features and their ecological functions.
Deputy Mayor Nathan Townend noted council's position.
there are some concerns. The proponent recognized that there is homework yet to be done, and I think there's a recognition that council wants to ensure that that homework is done.
Council passed a resolution in support of the company at their latest meeting to help with the company's bid for federal funding. At an August 25th open house regarding the project, there were various concerns from residents in regards to communication, groundwater, and the potential to destroy wildlife habitat. Councillor Paul Proderick speaks about the importance of public engagement and moving towards clean energy options in the future.
We've been down this road before, and I think back early in our term of council, we asked staff to develop a policy in terms of engagement, and they followed that rather extensively. You know, clean energy, it in my judgment, that's the direction we should be taking. It fits into our climate action plan.
Councillor Lorna Willis sympathized with those voicing concerns, but spoke about the importance of moving forward as well.
I do know what it's like to live within a project space. Although, you know, I am supporting the motion because I do agree that we do have to do our part to move forward with green energy in the township.
The proposed project would be located on approximately 800 acres of private land near Switzerville and would be capable of supplying energy to 20,000 homes. The target operation date is May 2030. For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News. A clean energy company looking to build an energy storage center in Loyalist promised the project would bring 670 direct construction jobs and 40 permanent jobs to the area. HydroStore presented their plans for creating the Quinty Energy Storage Center to Loyalist Township Council. The proposed site is on a portion of an already existing industrial aggregate site near the intersection of County Road 22 and Town Line Road. Staff with the company noted that each phase of the project will provide over $1.4 billion in economic benefits to Ontario, including the boost in local jobs. The company will also be making long-term direct contributions to the township and county through a community benefits fund. Vice President of Business Development with HydroStore, Shahir Aziz, explains the project and why they chose the area.
The Quinty Energy Storage Center is a energy storage project that we have been working on for the past couple of years in Lennox and Addington County. The reason why we are so attracted to this location is that we want to be adjacent to the Lennox Transformer Station, which is a critical transformer station in the province of Ontario. It allows for power to transfer east towards Ottawa, as well as transferring power west towards Toronto when needed.
Aziz speaks about the jobs the project looks to bring to the area.
We are a long-term infrastructure project. What that means is that we actually need to be constructed on-site and on the ground, which is really good for boosting local economy as well as regional economy. Our project will create approximately 670 full-time construction jobs, as well as 40 jobs once it's actually operating. And what's really exciting about these jobs is that these job opportunities, once operating, are not, you know, jobs that need to take away from any industry, but rather repurposing jobs that come out of the fossil fuel generation space. We're going to be driving local benefits to both the local Indigenous communities, as well as working with your township to see what opportunities for our project to really work and contribute to the community.
Aziz highlights the work they've been doing in the area.
We've been working on two sites in this area, with one of the sites we'd like to call Quinty East. The location of the site, proposed site, is on the northern end of an existing quarry located on an industrial aggregate site in Loyalist. We have been able to screen the site from a desktop environmental screening perspective, as well as conduct studies to understand the interconnection capacity and start to move ahead with some of the feasibility and development of the site. We have also partnered with the Mohawks of the Bay of Quinty, who are our First Nation Indigenous partners for the project and are supporting us on our journey ahead.
Aziz details the technology that HydroStore uses.
Our technology is one of the lowest cost, long duration energy storage technologies available today, and it operates emissions free. What else is also really unique about our technology is that it has a 50-year plus operating life without any degradation. That's really helpful because it means that we aren't repeatedly refurbishing our storage project, and instead it operates like any other. You could compare it to a pump storage plant, which is online for 50-100 years and doesn't require any major replacements.
Aziz details HydroStore's process for generating electricity.
The way our technology works is that you take electricity from the grid when power is cheap or in excess. You use that to compress air underground into an underground cavern. During that process, as you are compressing air, we actually take heat and we store it into a thermal management system. That heat is being generated when you're compressing air underground. Once the system is fully charged, the air pushes all the water out of the cavern and holds in steady state. When you then need to discharge to generate electricity, you flip a valve, the water pushes the air out, the air goes up our well and through our turbine generating electricity.
One of the primary engineers with HydroStore, Lucas Texan, explains how the company builds its caverns and notes the rock formations in the area.
We site our caverns specifically to be in very impermeable rock formations that are not suitable for hosting water. It's one of our siting criteria. The rock that is in this area is excellent for that case. It has very low hydraulic permeability once you're below the karst formation, below that limestone and into the Canadian Shield, which is where we would target to build our caverns. Our construction shafts, which will travel from the surface down to our cavern construction horizon, are cased with the steel casing to ensure there's no interaction between our A-case process and the groundwater.
Aziz speaks more about how the project will benefit the province, country, and local economy as well.
We're also going to be generating approximately $1.4 billion in support of Canada's GDP, and also once operating about $31 million per year in GDP. We've also been started engagement with Loyalist's town planning team, and who've guided us towards your requirements for community engagement and a pathway towards municipal support resolution. And so we will be engaging following Loyalist's requirements and doing our best efforts to engage with the community and proceeding ahead with that as we look to move forward.
For Amherst Island Radio and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Ted Evans. This is North Shore News.
This has been North Shore News and Interviews. If you have an idea for a story or want to create stories for this show, consider joining our 100% volunteer team. Contact Amherst Island Radio for more details.